18. We didn't finish verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed that with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. And the word adultery is obvious what it's used for, but it's not obvious of what it's used for in the Bible. So let's look at that a little bit. Let's go to Hebrews. No, let's just go to James 4.
I know what an adulterer is. I think I've learned in that lesson to be adulterer in a biblical sense would be one who is not loyal and doesn't have fidelity to the Lord, turns to himself. Is that right?
Well, it's the way we studied it yesterday was that it's you go any place but to God for your needs. But James has a damning definition. Let's go to chapter 4 of James. From whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now that's as striking as it gets. Adultery is being a friend with the world. What does it mean to be a friend of the world? Anybody?
Talk about the world's values and forays and trusting.
If any man love the world, remember, the love of the Father, and love just give, you give importance to anything in the world. And I don't know how to explain this, but I gave importance to everything in the world. I mean, I thought some of them were foolish, but it's still, even though because I had that thought, I was giving importance to it. And it just died. After the conversion, you know, they kind of rise up again, but I mean, this is one of the least studied scriptures in the modern church. Whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Are you a friend of the world?
I confess I am at times. I confess I am at times.
And it's not that, I mean, you can't, if just because it says that, you can't just say, okay, I'm not going to be a friend of the world anymore. That's not the way it works. This thing about we always have to go back to Ecclesiastes. You have to find out for yourself that there's nothing in the world that has any meaning. preaching about not being a friend of the world is part of the preaching of the cross. And at least it'll make you think about it. But it's like something that it's an internal thing that you didn't decide you're going to be a friend of the world or a friend of this, or you didn't decide you're going to, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You didn't decide that you're going to give importance to this in the world system. But somehow it has to be dealt with. And I can assure you, with everything in me, that if you really look and push this to the end, you'll find out you're not a friend of the world. It's just a habit that you brought forth into the kingdom. And so when these scriptures come about, when you hear these things, you can't just dismiss them or not pay any attention to it. You can if you think you're above the word of God. But you have to deal with it if you have any integrity whatsoever. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world with the world is an enemy of God? I mean, I can't tell you how important it is that you deal with these things where you still are a friend of the world. You've got to come to some end of it. No man cometh to me. Mother and father and sister and brother and wife and children, yea, and his own life also. This is as demanding a mystery. This is why I've said this gospel isn't good news. It's the worst possible news you can have. What I was going to talk about was I left the notes. But I was going to talk about, remember, between the fast of Ab and the fast of, I mean, fast of Thomas and the fast of Ab, we read the three of rebuke, and then from the fast of Ab on to Rosh Hashanah, the birth of Christ, you read the seven of consolation. And the three of rebuke and the seven of consolation represent the ten attributes of the soul. It's hard to believe. I mean, this is just the basic of the basics. It's hard to believe that you were born and you were born as sin. You had a period of innocence before self-awareness to show us a mystery. But you don't do sin, you are sin. And so sin is a friend of the world. Sin idea of success is financial or meeting some standard or being famous, having gold and silver and having a good life. That's being a friend of the world. And that's the desire of you as a human being. But there are these ten attributes of the soul, the three of rebuke and the seven of consolation. There's three of the mind. It's conceptualization, comprehension, and application. Those are the three attributes that the ancient rabbis said were the they're the instruments that you use to come to the end of yourself, or that God uses for you to come to the end of yourself. Do you understand that? Conceptualization, comprehension, and application. You finally find out that none of those things give you sustenance and satisfaction, and so you become poor. And there's three emotional drives. There's love, awe, harmony, ambition, devotion, bonding, and receptiveness.
Sounds like more than three.
Huh?
You said there's three. Sounds like more than three.
No, there's three of the mind and seven of emotion. Love, awe, harmony.
Okay, yeah, you just said three of the mind, and then you said there are three emotions.
Oh, no, there's seven of the emotion. So, somehow, both from the emotional standpoint and the mind standpoint, by pushing everything to the edge, you have to see that it's all vanity, empty, worthless. And that's what this period is about, between the fast of Tammuz and Rosh Hashanah. It's pushing all of these things to find out, do they have any sustenance? Do you gain any satisfaction from it? Is there anything in it that is worthy of your attention? And you may not be able to do it. You may not be able to say, okay, I am no longer a friend of the world because I love X, Y, Z. But that's what the Seder is about, to have enough integrity to say that in the Seder. And that's what should be going on in the Seder groups right now, between now and Rosh Hashanah. And then if there's still something that you haven't been honest with or dealt with, then there's the tool of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so that you're finally ready on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, so that there's nothing still holding you to the world. There's no And again, I've said so many times, from the standpoint of your mind and the world system, and you as all the stuff that make you you, none of this is good news. It's good news if you preach self-improvement in the name of God and just worry about that bad stuff. We're talking about what adultery means. Let's look at Revelation 22. Maybe 22. Well, let's just read the whole thing, because it's all connected. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, excuse me, and on either side of the river there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And he said, then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren, of the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God, not me, is what he's saying. Then he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. In the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and shining morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of the life freely. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. With grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, what does it mean? We read all that to go back to he that is unjust in verse 11, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. What does that mean?
I see it that Christ is the only one that has eternal life. And that,
well, Christ and his bride. No, I think it's different than that, Pete. I think it's by the admission that you are those things, then that opens up to you the power of God so that you can repent. So it's not you trying to do anything except see But this is, when this, let me just take a minute. I saw essentially that this whole mystery, that's part of what the conversion experience was. It was, I sat there and cried in this meeting, or not, I didn't cry out loud, but I was sobbing. And I was gone. And the guy, I had a friend, was with me. And he thought I'd gone nuts or something. And it was, the deal was over and everybody left, except he stayed to see what I was going to. I said he tried to get me out of it, but I didn't. But however long that was, it could have been 10,000 years. And, I know it sounds unbelievable. But in that period of time, however long I was gone, I saw the mystery of God. Because I never read the Bible. I mean, as a child, I probably looked at a few verses. But I didn't know anything about it. And then I mean, it was so awesome. It was so awe-inspiring that there was nothing else. I mean, it had nothing to do with me. But anyhow, but then, how quickly I let my mind start going back. Obviously my mind wanted to rebuild the things that I had just destroyed. Because I had a life, I had a future. And every time the Holy Spirit would come whack me against the head. And so this, and yet I went to, you've heard me say, I probably went to more than, I went to church every time, every night or every day I could find a church. And every time, the preacher said something about improving myself, or here's how you get something from God. I got sick to my stomach because I already saw, I had seen everything from God. And that was, you can't how to get there. That's using Babylon to try to gain the kingdom. But all these years, however many years I've been preaching or teaching, my only prayer and hope is that those that are here and those that listen on this evil Antichrist machine could experience that mystery. I don't mean to sound arrogant, or it's just a what is. And I know this is almost impossible to believe. Anyhow, that's enough of me mumbling around. Any thoughts by anybody? John?
No thoughts.
All right, take it big guy.